What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Awesome Village. I am Greg, and joining me is...
Ryan.
Glenn.
And John.
We're all here.
Welcome back, Glenn.
Why, thank you.
So you're not mad at Ryan anymore?
No, I brought him a plant.
He did. He brought me a plant.
We need to, next time this happens, like, we legitimately need to have you guys do, like, wrestling intro where you're yelling at each other and upset.
No, I would win that.
Well, I know that, but Glenn would rise to the challenge, I think. And
he would. But, yeah, Glenn actually did bring me a plant. And the funny thing about it is, and no pun intended, it's planting the seeds for a future episode of The Awesome Village. He brought me a plant of the ghost pepper. So when that mother grows, I'm going to eat it on the podcast.
He looks like he needs to be alone with this thing for a little while.
I mean, it's the ghost pepper.
I've never been a herbologist or anything of the sort, but I do...
Herbologist is in Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been watching Harry Potter again. So, I'm very
well, it's
much...
not a mandrake, it's a ghost pepper.
Well, whatever. But whatever, I mean are you sure? I mean, if we pull that thing out, are you sure it won't scream at us and kill us? But when I really want to, you know, nurture that thing and make sure it grows well and is a nice, healthy ghost pepper when I eat it and it nearly kills me.
So are you going to eat it just there or are you going to make salsa or something like that?
I don't know.
I think you should make some salsa with it, but I think the one we do on the if you do one on the podcast, I think it should be just straight up ghost pepper.
I mean, for the fans,
with the seeds and all, just like bite into it.
Yeah.
We'll have some milk and some.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have milk
and a fire hose,
and we'll, or maybe a white. We'll be able to pause the podcast in case we have to, you know, call the EMTs or something.
We may have to do our first like video broadcast.
Yeah.
we're live from the emergency room.
Well. You know, speaking of some of our favorite things, though, our favorite restaurant has a new challenge.
I don't know if it's our favorite. It's definitely not my favorite anymore.
It never was my favorite.
I mean, I think it may have been in our top five of favorites after we've been drinking at night.
Well, since they moved the Denny's away.
Yeah.
It's only good because of convenience,
yeah.
Basically.
The good old IHOP has lost their damn mind.
The IHOB?
Well, I'm saying that they've decided to challenge the Burger King.
Did you see someone I work with posted a picture on Facebook
right.
of Burger King, except it said Pancake King.
Yeah, they changed the little picture. And then we were talking earlier how the Wendy's
went after them.
Someone asked Wendy's what did they think of it. And they said, we're not too concerned with someone who thought pancakes were too hard.
Oh.
Snap. So yeah, IHOP.
The pancakes are pretty good.
The International House of Pancakes temporarily is going to be known as the International House of Not B as in breakfast, but B as in burgers.
They should have done B as in bacon.
Apparently, they've introducing like...
B as in bullshit.
They introduced like a bunch of different type of burgers to tap into like the non-breakfast market.
They said, and I quote, burgers are very popular in America.
Yeah, no kidding.
Really? Did they take a research team for them to figure that out?
I mean, it's been popular since the 50s.
There's also this other food called pizza that people like.
And that's unannounced house pizza. Yeah. Maybe they'll be in that.
Yeah, they'll go back to IHOP, but it won't be pancakes anymore. Yeah. Pizza.
I think you nailed it.
I did.
But
they don't have to change all the signage.
Regardless of the
IHOP's bullshit, Marie.
Yeah, but regardless of the fact that it's temporary, Don Draper would have never approved of this advertising campaign. This is just dumb.
They got people talking though.
Yeah, but not in a good way. Well, I guess
there's such thing as bad press.
That's true. So I guess we'll see when, like, you know, they actually introduce these burgers if the sales are doing better. I mean, I'm not intrigued to go to IHOP to get a burger. No.
Maybe we should do that and eat it and do it on the show and review it.
I guess we could. They have seven different ones, so we can all choose a separate one and bring it on the podcast needed.
Is it as dumb as Burger King's cologne, though?
What?
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, the hamburger cologne.
Yeah, they had a cologne. I guess it makes you smell like flame-broiled Whopper.
Who wants to smell like a flame-broiled Whopper?
The Burger Queen? I don't know.
So the IHOB.
Gotta love the IHOB. So,
it sounds like a creature you got to face in Lord of the Rings.
It kind of does.
The IHOB.
It's the what was the spider's name?
Shelob.
It's the
Shelob. Or the Balrog.
They have a cape troll.
So the mid-season finale of Fear the Walking Dead came.
Yeah. Some.
Now Greg didn't see it.
I did not see it.
So I haven't seen it either.
All right. I thought it was. I have loved this season so much, and
yeah.
I'm going to quote, I believe it was Ian McKellen in the first X-Men when he said, "Are you sure you saw what you saw?" Because people are losing their mind about what happened in the midseason finale. And I don't necessarily know that what happened really happened.
I mean, whenever you're dealing with shows like this, you pretty much always know it's going to be a death. We're not going to say who it is because it's still kind of fresh. But I agree with Ryan 100%. It's a death that was pretty... It's pretty major if it sticks, but it could also fall under the Glenn and the dumpster sort of thing, where it certainly looks like that person's dead, but we'll see.
In my personal opinion, the Glenn dumpster scene looked more conclusive than what happened in Fear of the Walking Dead.
For some reason...
Not you.
Not me. And, well, fans of Star Trek The Next Generation, I just pictured the Darmok language. Glenn Ray in the dumpster at the Walking Dead.
You know, a lot of people credit that Glenn dumpster sequence and the reveal of him still being alive and then having him killed at the end of that, the next season. They credit that with kind of the slump in the ratings because they said that it started to decline after that, which I guess fans got sick of being jerked around, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's not jerked around. I mean, these characters are living in peril. I mean, I don't.
I'm worried about Walking Dead, but not because of that.
Right.
I mean, The Walking Dead's been in trouble for a while.
But now everybody's leaving.
Andrew Lincoln, who else?
And Lauren Cohen.
Is that official?
Well, I think she said she's doing like the same amount of episodes as him. She's only doing half of the season.
And then Denai Guerrero.
Yeah, but she didn't say she's done. So like she may have only been signed for those six episodes.
Well, she's got a show on ABC she's doing.
Well, it may be canceled.
Well,
but we were worried about Daryl too because he was doing like some kind of motorcycle bullshit or something.
Well, he was doing that for AMC. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I mean,
and he's getting like 20 mil to stay.
Yeah, because apparently he might be the main character. I'm not talking about The Walking Dead right now.
I'm sorry. We need to
wait till that shit comes out to bitch about it. But Fear of the Walking Dead, as for all my money is concerned, is
it's better right now. It's better than The Walking Dead.
Way better.
And considering it started off and I was not into it when it first started, I kind of had to force myself to really get into it.
It's the same way.
It's gotten so much better. It's really good now.
The latter part of season one and pretty much all of season two was a chore. And I'm really glad I stuck with it because it is really hitting its stride right now.
Yeah.
I feel like they've sort of whittled out the characters that were not as interesting.
Yeah.
And they've brought in the right characters now.
Yeah.
So I'm very optimistic about this show. Even if the supposed death we saw is true, I'm still very positive about the show.
Cool. Glenjamin?
Yes, sir.
Cheer us up by telling us a little bit about Arrested Development.
Yes. So as y'all mentioned last week, I've kind of been championing the show since today. This is one show that I will say I watched the pilot episode on Fox when it came up.
No. Hey, I told everybody. I was like, this is the dude's show. This is Glenn's show.
And I will admit, season four, I was kind of disappointed, but then when they re-edited it, it's much better. It's a lot like the other ones. Well, season five started on Netflix, and I'm not sure if a lot of people know this, but this is just part one of season five. Like, this is the first eight episodes, the rest of the... Because I think they did something where the cutoff for Emmy votes was the 1st of May. So that's why they, or the 30th, it was the end of May.
Netflix has never done that before with shows, have they?
They kind of did it with the that other one I talked about, the toy thing, the Toys They Made Us, where they split it in two. So
that second season you watched was actually still like, is the second half of season? Oh, I didn't know that.
So this is just part one of season five.
Okay.
It's the first eight episodes. And it starts off kind of strange, just because they have to kind of pick up the pieces and deal with everything that happened in season four, because the way season four ended, they needed to clear up everything. I think it's the third. If you watch it, there's a episode that starts out with Jason Bateman walking into the penthouse and everybody like surprise and greeting him, and that's when the plot of this new season actually starts. So. And I have to say, it's a lot like the first three seasons, so it's funny. The only thing that's kind of strange, and this isn't really a knock against Arrested Development, I think like the jokes are all the same, but some of the stuff they were joking about in the first three seasons is so like prevalent just in the news now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as like crazy.
Yeah.
But the characters, I mean, all these, they all slide right back into their characters. You get some... The visits from some, you know, old favorite guest characters, Gene Parmesan, and it's funny. Especially if you're a fan of those first three seasons and you were kind of unsure about season four, definitely check out season five. It's I don't know if it's quite as good as those first two seasons.
Yeah, it's. I wouldn't say it is. I'm almost finished. I'm on episode 7 of this season, and it's really good. The one thing I will say that is starting to get a little tiresome though is the whole Michael and his son's like ongoing uncomfortableness because right. they've been dating the same woman. It seems like that's been going on for way too long.
And I agree. And I'm kind of curious to see how this is received because it's just the first half. Because when it ends, it's like the end of a regular episode. It's just on the next Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people know that this is just the first half. And I will say there is an episode involving a barbecue at Ron Howard's house that might be one of the funniest ones I've seen in a long time.
Is Ron Howard there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, his whole family's there.
Bryce Dallas Howard's there,
and his father, Rance Howard. I mean, it's hilarious.
I don't know if the podcast the mic picked it up, but Greg just took a very deep breath when you said Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah,
she's hilarious on it too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think has she done any comedy.
I mean, she was kind of funny in The Help a little. I mean, she was a bitch, but I mean, she was.
It would probably be funny if we got drunk and watched Lady in the Water.
I don't know
if it's because of her.
What's really funny is when I was watching that, I talked about how for some reason I always confuse her with Jessica Chastain. And I was watching an episode of Graham Norton on the other night, and she was on there with Jeff Goldblum and Chris Pratt for the Jurassic World. And she started talking about how she always gets confused with Jessica Chastain. And it even happened back when they were in college, before either one of them were famous, because she went to NYU and Jessica Chastain went to Juilliard. And they went to, like, the same Starbucks. And a lot of times she would walk in and they'd be like, oh, Jessica, we got your order for you over here. And she's like, I'm not Jessica.
Oh.
And then some other friend said, oh, yeah, you look just like this girl Jessica Chastain that we know.
That's pretty funny.
And it's before they were even famous.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it definitely, like, if you want to wait till the whole thing's out, it might actually flow better, but it's really funny. So, yeah, Arrested Development, it's definitely back in form after their little experiment with season 4.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, I'm looking forward to the last bit, and I will say, of the main cast, I think the standout of the season might actually be Aaliyah Shawkat as Maybe.
Yes,
she is hilarious.
And the scenes where she's undercover, like in the old folks home. Yeah. Oh my god,
it's so funny.
Is that the chick with the
Maybe Fume?
She's the
girl with freckles.
Yeah.
Yes,
the girl from Deck the Halls.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know why you're laughing.
Well, and she was the little girl with the broken arms from Three Kings. If you want. Go way back.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was her. Yeah.
Wow.
She's also got a show on TBS. What's the name of that show? It's a Search Party?
I don't know.
Search Party.
How old is she now? Because
she should have been in her 20s.
She got like really big breasts at a young age. I mean, she did.
Her birthday's 1989, if that helps.
So she's almost 30?
She's almost 30.
I don't know why you're laughing. I mean, I didn't state anything that is not fact, right? In my line.
She's like 29-ish right now.
So. Oh, Jesus. That's older than I thought she
was. Oh, yeah. And the one thing I will mention before we move on is there was kind of, I mean, I guess when they were filming it, they didn't know, but there was kind of some unfortunate jokes when they were joking about Jeffrey Tambor not getting nominated for Transparent or getting fired from Transparent. Now with like recent things, it's just kind of unfortunate that happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's so that's Arrested Development.
So, Greg, you watched Billions?
I did. So I haven't really talked much about the plot because I was waiting for you guys to kind of get into it, but I'm going to have to do a little bit of that. But basically, the season started with the character that Paul Giamatti plays, Chuck Rhodes. He had kind of sacrificed everything to get a win. And it opens up with dealing with the consequences of that, like alienating his father, alienating his best friend. Also, they can get his white whale, basically, and which is Bobby Axelrod. So Axelrod is in this other position where basically he can't enact his business, and he has his protege that kind of takes over while he can't do any trading and things like that. So throughout the course of the season, new kind of threats develop. And they all came to a head in this final episode, which puts these characters in a very unique position. And the acting from the three leads in this season, Maggie Siff, Damian Lewis, and Paul Giamatti, if they're not all nominated for awards for this, I don't know that there's any justice. Because it just pitch-perfect, phenomenal acting, and an incredibly well-written season. I mean, we talk a lot about Homeland and what it does. This every season they've blown up the show, and this ending of this season, Clancy Brown becomes one of the villains.
Oh, nice!
Oh, I love Clancy Brown.
Yeah. Who the hell is that?
Clancy Brown. He's the head guard in Shawshank Redemption, and he's in many other things.
He's many different voices in Star Wars, Clone Wars, and Rebels. Yeah.
He plays, you know,
the guy that refers to all lawyers as a bunch of ball washing bastards.
Yeah, they are. you said Maggie Siv. Is that the chick from Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah,
nice.
You'll like her in this.
I like her in everything. She was good in Mad Men too.
She was.
Well, Clancy Brown plays the new administration's attorney general, and it's kind of a frightening thing. They call him the general. And he basically starts.
Does he sell car insurance?
With Shaquille O'Neal?
I thought the exact same thing.
And he starts to get Chuck's office to only prosecute the cases that he wants to prosecute, which is not sitting well with Chuck in the midst of dealing with all, because he's basically had to make some sacrifices in order to get Bobby Axelrod in the position that he's in.
Bobby Axelrod. That's an awesome name.
Yeah. And we also get good old John Malkovich. As a Russian gangster.
Little Johnny Malkovich.
Teddy KGB.
Yes. So he should be sticking around for next season, judging by the end of this season.
If you don't have my money.
But yeah, I can't say enough. Paul Giamatti, we've always known him kind of as, you know, a very good actor. We've seen him in Sideways. We've seen him in, you know, as Pig Vomit.
Don't forget about his amazing turn in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That's also true.
The Rhino.
Well, he puts all the cards on the table this season. There's a season, an episode where he's trying to get someone to back off of something. And the way that he interrogates this person in this room, playing good cop, bad cop with another lawyer, it really is chilling. So I can't wait for you guys to see it, especially like with all the legal stuff, John. I can't wait for you to kind of see it. But definitely go watch it. It was a great season. 12 episodes, kind of like Homeland, so should be able to
watch
it.
This was season 3?
Season 3.
And it's on Showtime, right?
Showtime, yes.
So I did watch the first half of season 1, so I might just start at the beginning again and watch them all.
And John, we got to see something that Ryan recommended, and I'm glad he recommended this, which is Evil Genius.
Oh, I saw the first two, so I saw half.
I keep telling people to listen to me. I'm just saying.
So I can kind of get the, you know, spoiler out of the way that I loved it.
Yeah,
it was that was wow.
Yeah,
I literally watched them all back to back in a row today, and it was amazing.
It's good. Sandra gets a little creeped out at night, so we've watched one a night.
Yeah,
it's not. Well, I don't really find it creepy.
It's more creepy. Like the people it's about kind of creep her out.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that the woman, like, would spend hours shaving her eyebrows to purposely look more intimidating.
Was it just me? I told this to John. She kind of reminds me, like, she would be a villain on a season of Justified.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Like a Mags Bennett, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that whole kind of situation kind of seems like something that would have been on Justified.
They need Raylan Givens to come in. He could crack that.
Yeah, well, we were talking about it before we started recording, but like trying to remember, like I remember like blurbs in the news here and there about this, but I don't remember the full story. So I kind of went into it fresh, not knowing a lot.
Yeah,
about
I didn't know anything.
I just remembered from the Jesse Eisenberg movie,
right? And
so are we certain that that's where they got that?
I mean, I remember them talking about it being based on a kind of a true crime, loosely based on a true crime thing. And yeah, and I remember it kind of being a big deal
because it was a comedy, and some people said it was disrespectful.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, what blew me away was the fact that...
No pun intended?
With the guy sitting there with the bomb, and I was like, are they really going to show it?
Yeah.
And it went off, and I was like, holy hell, yeah. they show it twice. Yeah, and then they show the guy laying there and in his underwear. Luckily, they didn't show the police decapitating him. I mean, I thought they were going to show that.
Right.
They're going to need a hacksaw. Like Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
But just like the whole twist and turns of how it winds up. I mean, because again, I didn't know the resolution of it.
Yeah.
And to kind of see where it ends up.
Yes. And if you look at it on Netflix and you see that picture, don't think it's about like some exorcism or something, because that's what it looks like on the logo. It's just a really cool documentary.
Yeah.
But it also, like,
it's the Duplantis brothers, isn't it?
Yeah.
From like a legal standpoint, the questions about like insanity versus intelligence. That kind of blew my mind because I didn't think about it in those. Because she's clearly crazy,
but she's smart,
ridiculously smart.
Because she's crazy, but she sort of knows that she's crazy. Well, kind of like the whole Brad Pitt question in Seven. when you're crazy, do you know that you're crazy?
Well, because
she's sitting there rubbing herself in peanut butter, and she knows she's out of her mind.
And when they show her house with all the hoarding shit,
yeah, like,
they said that there was feces.
I mean, she kept talking about how she knows she's bipolar, but she also knows that she's gotten over on the police before and everything. And it was crazy.
There's elements of Saw, Married, and Axe Murder in it too, because every boyfriend she had ended up dead.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Rothstein guy, too, seemed like a very intelligent but out-of-his-mind individual. So, yeah.
Erie, Pennsylvania. Really, Erie. I think that's where they were from in That Thing You Do.
It is.
Boy, is that place going down.
See, I can't say enough about this. Definitely.
It's because Guy didn't go back.
Guy Patterson didn't go back.
He stayed in L.A., and the whole thing went
down. Him and Faye, they stayed on the West
Spoilers.
Coast.
Spoilers.
Quit. So we have a couple of things in TV news. Speaking of Maggie Siff and, you know, the beautiful, wonderful Sons of Anarchy, the Mayans, MC, we have some information about that. Ryan, why don't you take us through that?
They're making a spinoff of Sons of Anarchy about the Mayans, which was the Sam Crow, the biker gang or group from Sons of Anarchy. It was their main rival. Yeah. They actually were like a villain in the first couple seasons, and then it sort of became like sort of like
they and then, were, and then they kind of worked together.
Yeah, they were sort of
because they both know how to outlaw.
They did.
You're damn right. But I don't know if anything about the cast, but it supposedly takes place a few years after the events of Sons of Anarchy. And from the very beginning, I have been trying to recommend this show to everyone that I talk to. And a few people have listened.
Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, and have told me about how they become obsessed with it. Because when you tell somebody it's about a motorcycle group or gang running guns, it sounds sort of like a niche audience, but it's not. Yeah. I think it has universal appeal if you start watching
it. It has the same kind of appeal that something like The Sopranos does.
And I didn't think before I watched it, because I think I watched it first, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just saw it recommended, somebody else had recommended how good it was, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to see something about a motorcycle gang. But yeah, when you watch it, they're a crime family.
Yeah.
Just like The Sopranos.
I remember when I, because you watched it before I did, and then when I was almost finished, you specifically told me, let me know when you get down to the last two so I can come over and we can watch the end together.
Yeah. I did the same thing with Greg.
Yeah. Then we cooked steaks and we watched it. Yeah.
That's right. While I can hope that Mayans will be sort of in the, you know, like Better Call Saul or all the other, like Frasier, all the other great spinoffs, it'd be great.
Because, I mean, Sons of Anarchy was a show that it took a little while, at least half a season, to kind of catch its stride.
It ended up being FX's most popular show ever.
Yeah. Well, but I think, too, because of that and because we have Sons of Anarchy, this one will hit its stride a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the Fear of the Walking Dead thing where it starts off like kind of like with a dud. So hopefully it starts off, you know, a lot better than that did. But
I know from Wizard World, wasn't Mitch Pileggi said that? He said he kept on calling the writers saying that he was available and his character was still around.
Yeah, he played like a neo-Nazi in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He is still around.
Yeah.
They never did kill his ass.
It's much easier to list who is still around than who got killed. So yeah, there's that. And also we have a Game of Thrones prequel with some more news on that.
Well, they announced a pilot, but they didn't say if they're going to go through with it or not.
It's a pilot.
They'll go through with it.
It takes place like 1,000 years?
1,000 years before the events.
1,000?
1,000 years before Game of Thrones. So obviously it's going to be new characters, new everything.
How old is The Wall?
We're old characters.
The Wall is probably about that old.
So you think it's about the construction of the Wall?
It could be the reason they constructed it. Because it's before the Targaryen invasion at that. Because the Targaryens have only been there for, I think, 400 or 500 years or something like that?
I don't know the answer to that.
But yeah.
You sounded like you were giving testimony to Congress.
That's true, yeah.
Tobacco is not addictive.
Spoken like a true lawyer.
I don't recall.
We also, you said you had some news about Glow?
Yeah, the trailer dropped for Glow a couple days ago. It looks really good. It looks like they really are going into elements of the show that I mean, the first season was phenomenal, a big surprise success for Netflix, and I think this season is, based on the trailer, it looks like it's going to go even better. I'm very psyched. Everybody's back. The trailer looks funny. Also serious at times.
Which is how the first season was.
Yeah, yeah. And they seem to really emphasize those tones. So I'm very psyched for season two. I don't remember the date that it was gonna, that's going to
come out. I'm actually looking for that right now.
But I saw on TBS that the cast is going to do a drop the mic episode against the actual wrestlers.
I think it was last night.
Was it last night?
Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
June 29th.
So it's coming up.
Nice. Yeah, it is really soon. We also have the trailer that dropped for Jack Ryan.
Did anybody watch it?
I did not.
I did not, but it's Krasinski, so he's on. He's a good shit.
So we don't bust his chops. Right. I mean, I'm hearing good things about the trailer. I didn't see it, but it's an Amazon show. What other successful Amazon shows have they?
Man in the High Castle.
Oh, Transparent. Yeah.
Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Yeah.
So they got it.
Also, apparently they're trying to save Lucifer right now.
Are they?
Yeah. Apparently they're making a big push for it. They're being rather bullish, was the quote.
Oh, bully.
Get away. There were a couple films that came out this week. Before we talk about films, Glenn.
Yes, sir.
Dun, 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 dun. Give us the update.
Oh, our fantasy movie league. So,
Ryan's got zero.
Yeah. Well, you have two movies coming out this week.
Right, but I
have this week yet. You have Incredibles 2 and Tag. So you'll get some numbers up. So Greg's team is actually getting close to done. You've got three movies in the bag. Your Behemoth, The Avengers Infinity War. which right
my what?
The Behemoth.
Reservoir Dogs.
It's a new word.
Big Daddy Don Bodine's truck.
The Behemoth.
But, anyway, so Avengers Infinity War is right now ranked at, let's see, U.S. gross is $654 million.
We don't need to go to the dollars.
Yeah, I was just going to round it. All right, it's 733, so I'll round it. $655 million. Worldwide is $1,998,000,000. So you're closing in on a $2 billion movie there. Your other two movies, Action Point, $4.5 million, and they haven't opened it worldwide. So the worldwide total is also $4.5 million.
It'll make less worldwide,
yeah. But and then you had Ocean's 8 that came
That's
in
pretty decent.
It came in number one, and it actually was the highest gross of any of the Ocean's movies.
Really?
Weekend. Yeah. So it opened with the domestic gross of let's just say $42 million.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And the worldwide gross of $54 million. So right now, Greg's total domestically is $701 million.
And that's all that matters.
And his worldwide is $2,057,000,000. John has one movie, which is Solo: A Star Wars Story.
Take which,
him. And yeah, I have some thoughts on that because I wasn't here last week when we discussed it, but. U.S., you're at $177 million, and worldwide is $313 million.
What's his next movie?
His next one is Skyscraper. He's got three of them that come out in July. He's got Skyscraper, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, and Mission Impossible Fallout.
Ooh. He's got a show.
It sounds like you're making a joke, but I know that that's the title of that movie.
So, John's total right now is... Domestically, it's $177 million, and worldwide, it's $313 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got the big goose egg because you don't have any movies that open yet. And me, I've got Deadpool 2, which right now domestically is at $279 million.
Damn.
And worldwide is $656 million. And The Book Club, which is right now... $57 million U.S., and it hasn't opened internationally, so it's also 57. So my grand total is domestically $336 million, worldwide $713 million.
So it's Greg, Glenn, John, and me so far.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like it's almost stacking up to be all of our teams against the Avengers. So this is a fun experiment. I'm having fun tracking this.
So the Avengers is like the Thanos of...
Yeah, I get you.
All right, so why don't we talk about the number one film of this week, Ocean's 8.
Yes, sir.
I didn't see it.
I did see it.
I saw it.
I saw it. I saw an estrogen-filled double feature.
Well, why don't we actually go to the double feature first? Because that movie actually came out before Ocean's
Right. Movie. Let's talk
so
about
you,
the book
you actually,
club.
You saw your own movie, The Book Club. Your own movie because it's on your team, because you made it.
Which, had I made it, I'd have been very proud of it. So, all right, Book Club. I was not interested in this movie at all. My wife really wanted to see it, so we went and saw it, and it's fine. It's a harmless little comedy. Like, the way that I think about it, there's this kind of new genre that's emerging with these, like, older people. Like, there was, Las Vegas, and what's the one with Morgan Freeman where they, like, robbed the bank?
Las Vegas was actually good.
And this is, like, the female version of one of those movies. Where it features Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, and Mary Steenburgen are four best friends. They've been best friends since they were kids. And their big thing is they get together every month for their book club. They read a book at the beginning of the month. They get together at the end of the book and the end of the month, and they discuss it. And their lives have all gone in different directions. Like Diane Keaton, she's a recent widow. She's got two grown children, one of whom is played by Alicia Silverstone.
Batgirl.
Jane Fonda is this rich woman that owns this hotel. Candace Bergen is a federal judge. And Mary Steenburgen, her and her husband, played by Craig T. Nelson, are like...
I love him.
Yeah, they were kind of known for never kind of losing the spark and always like having sex everywhere. So,
makes sense.
So it's Jane Fonda's character, Vivian's turn to pick the book, and she picks Fifty Shades of Grey because she wants to read something she's interested in. And I thought the movie, from the look of the trailer, was going to be mostly about them reading this book, and it's really not. It's kind of the beginning of the movie is their reactions, and it's kind of just about their lives. Diane Keaton's children, they treat her like she's an infant because she's a recent widow, and they keep, like, badgering her to move to Arizona and live in their basement. Jane Fonda reconnects with an old flame played by Don Johnson.
Yeah.
And it's like she's kind of freaking out because she's actually kind of falling for him. Candace Bergen, after reading the book, decides she wants to start dating. So she goes on like a Tinder thing for senior citizens and ends up hooking up with Richard Dreyfuss.
He was in Jaws.
Yeah. And Mary Steenburgen, the Craig T. Nelson character, he's just recently retired and she's kind of concerned because their love life has kind of gone down. And I will say, Diane Keaton's character on a flight in the movie to go see her daughters runs into Andy Garcia, who might be one of the coolest movie characters I've seen in a long time, mostly because he's Andy Garcia. But it's a fine little comedy. It's probably destined to be played on LMN or Hallmark for until the end of time.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of old women just wanting to get laid.
Candace Bergen is actually pretty good in it. I will say she doesn't really act much anymore. And I don't know why.
She stared off into the distance pondering that for a second.
Yeah. But
she's Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
She's coming back to primetime TV.
Yeah.
I mean, did she do anything else? What else has she done besides Murphy Brown?
Saturday Night Live.
Really?
She was like Carnal Knowledge.
Oh, she was in.
I never saw that. But
she's like, wasn't she like the villain in Miss Congeniality?
Yeah, that's right. Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, like it's a harmless little comedy. I thought some of the plot with the two daughters was a little cartoony, and like the Alicia Silverstone character, which it was a crime that the second daughter was not Liv Tyler because she kind of looked like Liv Tyler, and I said that would have been fun casting, but.
Bring them back together. I like that.
Yeah, that was a little cartoony, and like there was this thing with Craig T. Nelson and Mary Steenburgen taking ballroom dance lessons, and the instructor was very kind of over the top and very cartoony. It kind of didn't go with the other plots, but it's like I said, it's a harmless comedy. It's not really made for me, but I will say every time Andy Garcia came on screen, I was just like enamored on how cool a man he is. So. You know, he wasn't in Ocean's 8, but I got him in book clubs. So score, I'd probably give it 6.25.
Interesting.
What I don't get about the plot that seems so crazy is what kind of losers would just get together all the time just to discuss the media that they've, you know.
I know, right?
Or whatever.
Which, it's funny because...
It's just ridiculous.
After this double feature, my wife texted your wife, and they're apparently going to do a book club.
Are they?
Yeah.
Good.
They're looking for a fourth.
Who's the third?
Oh, it's Ryan's girl.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay.
So maybe
neither of you seem to know about
this. Because I'm not reading any books.
It's got nothing to do with me.
There you go.
I don't read. I watch.
You read. So you go to work. You read.
You read on the show?
I pay the Amazon bill, but I'm not going to do it.
We didn't discuss the reading.
I don't know about the reading.
Did you watch the book club before or after Ocean's 8?
After.
After? Okay.
Yeah, because we figured Ocean's 8 would probably be the more crowded. So we did that during the day, and then we did the book club at night. We saw it at the dining screen, the AMC dining. I'll plug AMC. And the food was delicious.
What did you get?
I had the Royal Burger. It was like a burger with brie.
Royale with cheese?
Yeah, it had brie and like this pepper jam on it. Pepper
fries?
Jelly. Yeah, with fries.
What'd you drink?
I actually had a lemon flavored Dasani. It was lovely.
Oh, what did the wife eat?
She had a.
I love food.
Yeah,
so do we all.
She had a Caprese flatbread.
Oh. Very elegant.
Yeah. And she also got the Dasani. It was lovely.
Did you get any popcorn?
No, we didn't get the popcorn.
Oh, that's bullshit. You gotta get popcorn. Even if you don't eat it.
Just sits there.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. You just pay $10 for a thing of popcorn to not eat it.
Oh, you take it home.
You could do that.
So that was a risky Wild Wild West type situation where it could have gone bad.
Well, I asked Sandra because we had a babysitter for that. I'm like, what do you want to do? And she said, I really want to see Book Club, but no one wants to go. And I'm like, I'll go see it with you, babe. And then I said, well, I really want to see Ocean's 8. And we're like, well, let's just go see both. And it was an estrogen-filled girl power.
I do a lot for my wife, but if she said, I want to go see Book Club, but nobody wants to go, I would have said, that's true.
And I was laughing because as we were walking in the book club, I was laughing because I'm like, I think I might be the only man in this screening. And I think I saw one other.
Nah. I mean, I was the only white person watching Black Panther. I was fine with it.
Doesn't matter. As long as you're enjoying the movie.
But yeah, like I said, it's harmless. If you catch it on, like I said, it's going to be on Hallmark and Alamann till the end of time.
Far out. So Ocean's 8.
That's right.
That's a movie that came out, too.
It also is.
The fourth entry into the...
Yeah.
I found it kind of curious, though, that they, you know, there was Oceans 11, 12, and 13, and then they came up with 8, obviously, to do 8, 10, and 11. I mean, 8, 9, 10.
8, 9, and 10.
Well, just that was the number of people they had for the plan, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about making 3. They're trying to make more money. So, I haven't seen it yet, but do y'all think this is a, like, all-female cash grab, like people have said about... The Ghostbusters thing?
They did it better.
I think this did. If they would have done Ghostbusters in the style they did this, there wouldn't have been a backlash.
Yeah.
Because I think the problem with Ghostbusters, while I liked the movie, it was like I couldn't figure out if it was a sequel or remake or whatever. Because like
the actors were in it.
Yeah, they were all the original people were all in it, but they kept trying to say
if they would have done it this way that they did Ocean's 8 and the Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters, if one of them, for example, say the Kristen Wiig character was a student of Egon.
Right.
And they were just kind of inheriting the mantle of the Ghostbusters. I don't think anyone would have had an issue with it.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Because this Ocean's 8 is a spinoff.
So how do they know Danny Ocean?
Sandra Bullock is Debbie Ocean. His younger sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who wants to go through the plot?
Well, at the beginning of the movie, she gets paroled.
Just like he does at the beginning.
And she's in formal wear, yeah.
Yeah, and she basically hatches this plot with her old crew, very much like the original Ocean's 11. Her Rusty is actually Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Who's very good.
She's very good, yeah. But
she's so regal.
She is. She's very regal. Their plot basically is it's got a mixture of revenge, but also a mixture of wanting to steal something.
Just like the original.
Just like Ocean's 11 so far, okay.
And, basically, there's a big event coming at the Met Gala that they have every year, and they're going to steal this necklace that they're going to get onto the neck of this famous actress, and they're going to go there and have this all set up so they can steal the necklace.
It's this heist that Debbie Ocean's been planning for the 5 years she's been in prison.
Okay.
So, wants to go. I really liked it.
I liked it a lot, too. I think... Nothing's going to surpass Ocean's 11.
Never.
No.
I think it's better than 12.
What isn't?
Probably just a little bit better than 13, or on even keel with 13.
I would say 13 I thought was maybe a little bit better than this one. But I really liked Ocean's 13 now.
Yeah, I really liked Ocean's 8, but there's one thing that I thought it didn't have that the other ones did. And the other ones...
Casey Affleck?
which is true. He's circus animals.
There's actually several things in it.
Yeah. Well, the main thing, if you're just going by plot and like style, the original three, they were doing these heists, but they were stealing them from kind of bad guys. Like there was, you know, the Terry Benedict villain. And this one, it's just a flat-out heist. They're not stealing from a bad guy. They're stealing from the Met Gala.
There's that. One of the things that, like, again, I very much enjoy the film. I think that the cleverness and tightness of the script from 11 is kind of what was missing here, where it was a cool plot and everything, but it didn't have that tight kind of feel where it was brilliant. You kind of...
I agree with you. I felt that it tightened up once the heist started.
Yeah, to a large degree. I think the resolution kind of got a little bit dicey.
Yeah.
But overall, it was an entertaining film. I think John and I will agree with this. Our only point of contention might have been Awkwafina.
Yeah.
Because the second she opened her mouth, I just wanted to punch the screen.
I mean, yeah. I thought she was okay. I mean, she...
The one thing, I do find that she's kind of annoying, and she was annoying in Neighbors 2, but the one thing I will say about this... She doesn't even have that many speaking parts because a lot of her parts is she's the kind of the pickpocket, so she's trying to blend into the background and not saying anything, so which is fine.
And one thing that kind of surprised me was Rihanna was actually pretty good.
Rihanna was
very good.
Hey, look, anybody who actually sat through that damn what the hell was that sci-fi movie?
Battleship?
No, the one that we saw that show.
Oh, Valerian.
Yeah,
Valerian,
she was pretty good in that.
She in Battleship. She said Mahala, motherfucker.
Yeah,
Mahala.
Yeah, because it was in Hawaii.
No. Anyway.
And of the eight women, I thought they were all good. For some reason, I thought the stand-up by far was Anne Hathaway. I thought the way that she did the, like, at first, when they had, like, scenes with her and her assistant, I was like, oh, she's doing, like, a twist where she's being the Meryl Streep character from Devil Wears Prada. But then it kind of turned into a funny, like, version of herself, almost.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just really liked her character.
I kind of hoped for more from Mindy Kaling. Not that it's... Mindy Kaling didn't do a good performance, but... I don't think they gave her enough funny lines.
Yeah,
and stuff
they didn't like juggling the usage of the characters was a little
lacking. I mean, other ones like Helena Bonham Carter, they had scenes where she looked stepped just out of like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
with a big head,
kinda. Yeah.
Wow,
there's a lot of cameos in it, of course, because they're at an event with a bunch of celebrities. But one of the things that was funny was the guy that Debbie's trying to get revenge on, it was an actor that for a second John looks at me and the second he said it I'm like, yeah, that's exactly who it is.
Thorin Oakenshield from the Hobbit movies, the guy that's like the,
yeah,
the
I know.
Dwarf king. He's a lot taller in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And Sarah Paulson gave a good performance.
He's a lot less hairy.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I mean, it's something else I'd see again.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it
thoroughly. And I will say Sandra Bullock, she did a good job having kind of the swagger of George Clooney. You know, yeah. you can kind of tell they were related. James Corden has a small
James Corden, it was funny. It was not like I like James Corden.
It was funny.
Because at first I thought he was going to be kind of like, because he's the insurance investigator that comes into the end. I thought he was going to be just kind of bumbling, but he was actually like a very smart
insurance
investigator.
That's kind of what I thought was the best thing about it. It was almost like he was a straight man.
Yeah.
But that was what's made it more funny.
Yeah.
But, so,
great. So yeah.
I can't quite give it an 8, although that would be
kind of 7.5 is what I would say.
Yeah, I'd say 7. 7.5. 7.5, yeah. It's good.
I'm very surprised by that.
Of the sequels of the Ocean's movies, I think this one might be my favorite. 13's good, but...
It's right up there with 13. Yeah, I really like 13. 12 was not good.
Way better than 12.
Way better than 12.
Everything's better than 12.
So, John and I got to see Hotel Artemis.
Yeah.
Why don't you take us through the plot?
So, Hotel Artemis, it takes place about 10 years in the future. It's in Los Angeles. There's riots that are just taking over everything in Los Angeles. And the Hotel Artemis is a private building that you have to have a membership to even get inside. And it is basically a place where you can go in and have safe haven, or if you need to get patched up, if you're a criminal or something, and you're wounded or something, there's a woman there that they just call nurse, and Jodie Foster plays her, and an orderly named Everest, played by Dave Bautista. And there's just all these different criminals that are in there for various different things, getting patched up or just waiting on a way to get out of there. And it was just a cool little world. Kind of like we kind of mentioned last week when we talked about the different worlds. It's kind of like, it seems like it would fit in with John Wick.
Right. It's like it could almost be in that same universe.
Yeah.
Just a little bit in the future. Yeah, all the characters, they're not supposed to know each other's name, but some of them know each other.
Yeah.
And they're named after the suites that they stay in, which are locations. So there's one guy's Acapulco, and there's Waikiki and Nice. Yeah, so things kind of converge. Basically, the guy that owns the hotel comes in to get patched up, and craziness ensues.
Yeah.
And Jodie Foster has some kind of dark, tragic past that... that kind of comes to play in the movie.
I really want to see... I'm glad to see Jodie Foster doing some stuff.
She's really good.
This is the first thing she's done in like 4 years.
Yeah, she's so good. And I'd love to see her continue acting.
I keep watching her on The Inside, man. It's been coming on a lot. And,
yeah, and I love that Panic Room.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really good in this. This movie, John and I talked about it when we were leaving. I loved it. I just think the ending kind of felt a little rushed. But I'm really glad we went to go see it.
Yeah. Sophia Boutella's character was really cool too.
She really was.
The way she has to kill people.
Yeah.
Because like she's an assassin, and she apparently works for very, very rich clientele. And she says in it, you know, that's why they pay extra for what they do. One of the people that she just talks about is somebody that she has already killed. She's got this little implant in her eye that records, and you can like dial into it or whatever. So the guy that's ordering this person killed can be watching on the other end, and basically she has to find the person and kill them very brutally on camera while the guy that's watching masturbates.
Yeah.
To it. And they're like, really? And he's like, that's what they pay extra for.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. So you don't see the masturbator or anything.
So you said it's in the future?
It's like 10 years in the future.
Okay. Have the polar ice caps melted yet?
The riots are because basically water has been privatized.
So I might be right.
So yeah.
And the company that does it in Los Angeles has turned off the water, and people are kind of losing their minds. So the riot is gradually reaching the building. And yeah, like it's kind of crazy.
Wow. Have you ever had a freshwater bath?
And I haven't seen This Is Us, I plan to fix. But
Sterling K. Brown's in it. He's possibly the main character if Jodie Foster's not the main character.
But there's almost like this kind of control that it is very John Wickian.
I haven't seen This Is Us, but if you want to see an amazing performance by him, watch The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
I mean, I thought his scenes in Black Panther were really good.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. And only got like, two or three scenes.
And
memorable. He's really good at it. Charlie Day is in it. He's not just their kind of bumbling idiot that he usually is and stuff.
The big robot movie?
The Pacific
Rim. Yeah. He's like an arms dealer he's just kind of an asshole in it.
Yeah.
And,
horrible bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sophia Boutella is this assassin. And
Jenny Slate.
But she doesn't have like the blades on
her. She doesn't have the blade legs, no. And we got Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Jeff Goldblum. Zachary Quinto is his son.
You know, I got to cut y'all. I got the Jeff Goldblum, the pop figure of him with the shirt all open.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
That's the one to have.
Yeah.
So, John, if you had to give this a score, what would you give it?
I think I'd also give this a 7.5.
I would say so too. Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
Okay. A very good movie.
So we had some good ones this week.
Yeah. We also had some movie news. Ryan, if you want to take us through some of the bigger...
So the Geoff Johns news just broke. That's probably the more recent one. He's...
Stepping down,
but still working.
It kind of sounds like he's stepping down to work on this movie.
Well,
Green Lantern Corps.
A whole bunch of stuff came out afterwards. So they gave him a big writing and production deal. So he's doing producing and writing. But also, he got his own imprint at DC Comics, where he can work on whatever characters he wants. So I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he wanted to kind of do more writing.
So who's running DC now?
They just named somebody new like last week.
Jim Lee is taking what his job was, like chief creative officer. But there was a guy that was...
He worked with James Wan, huh?
Yeah, might be Mike Takuda. Something Takuda. He kind of became the president DC Films.
I mean, Greg, you're the comic book guy. Is this good, bad?
Well, the movie that he's going to be working on is going to be Green Lantern Corps, which John's kind of revitalized. He's the reason that they thought of that being the first movie to start their franchise when they did the ill-fated Ryan Reynolds one. But he's going to be in charge of that, which is a good person to be in charge of. Plus, they're going to get two Green Lanterns because they already said it's Hal Jordan and John Stewart. So I think that's a good positive direction. We'll kind of see. And he's going to be writing a Shazam comic book for DC. And that movie's right around the corner. So
it kind of sounds like he just didn't want to run things. He wanted to be more like in the trenches.
It's been rumored for a while because Diane Nelson was on like leave before they ousted her. And it kind of like was similarly like where there was rumors for a while he was going to be kind of moved off of it because I guess it didn't go the way they wanted to with Justice League. So, yeah, I mean, it's fine with this. I always love his writing, so it's going to be great to have more product of his coming out in a form of writing, especially in comics.
So they're just going to make 157 Joker movies?
Well, one of the books that John's going to be writing for DC is Three Jokers, because there's a whole big thing that happened.
I don't get...
Yeah.
Why are they...
I don't even know if any of these are going to see the light of day, though. There's right. They announce all these... That's one of the big issues with WB and DC. They announce all these movies, and sometimes just they don't happen.
Yeah,
look at Flashpoint.
Right.
I don't think we need a Jared Leto Joker movie.
Oh, he's over there.
I think it was an adequate performance, but not...
Now, one thing no one's talking about is DC has their own streaming service coming out. I wonder if some of these are going on there.
It's possible. I mean, I know they got like three or four shows already lined up,
including a Harley Quinn animated show with Margot Robbie. Yeah.
So the only other major news is that Val Kilmer is officially on for Top Gun Maverick. So Iceman is going to be back.
You think he'll snap his teeth?
I just tried to snap my... I don't know if it's going to come through the podcast, but I tried that.
Sway flies. Ice cold.
That's right.
You think they'll bring Tim Robbins back?
I don't know. I hope they bring Rick Rossovich back, too, to be Slider.
You stink.
So and he can do that pose again, whatever that is, what he does with his arms. It's not exactly like a regular flexing thing, but when they're playing volleyball.
Remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger punched his chest out in Terminator?
I do.
Yes.
So we had a crap ton of trailers come out this week. I don't know what the hell. This was trailer week. So
it's like Shark Week?
Kind of. So, did any of y'all have a favorite that came out? We'll go through all of them.
I didn't see all of the ones that we talked about.
I do.
All right, what is your favorite?
Halloween.
Ones that I saw, Halloween.
Halloween was my favorite, too, so I think we're all in agreement.
As soon as that music started, it brought me back to Haddonfield.
And, the whole time I kept having to go, Danny McBride wrote this.
It is...
It's an interesting experiment.
It's a very, I want to say it's just a brilliant, way they're going about it. It's very...
Do we know yet? Are they just taking... They're just taking one and two and ignoring everything else?
They're not even taking two. They're just taking one.
Just sequel to one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So H2O doesn't exist?
None of... It's just... It's a 40-year...
You sound so hurt
by it. I like that one. Man, H2O gave us Josh Hartnett.
It also gave us Jeff.
Our
Mike Myers mask.
Our game room guy.
But this is just they're pretending like none of the other ones.
Well, they did talk in the trailer about that night of part two, right? Didn't they say
remember it was all the same night,
But they talked about the events of two.
Not really. They didn't mention the hospital.
I thought they.
And in fact, there's a scene where one of them says, "Isn't that her brother?" Oh no, people made that up. So I mean, that was kind of
It wasn't in the first movie. They mentioned it was her brother.
No, he was just the shape. Hmm.
The shape.
That's what they... If you look at the script, the original Halloween script, they always just referred to him as the shape. So... exactly. But,
that trailer is phenomenal. I mean, it's...
John Carpenter that came back to do the score.
That's great. Who directed it?
David Gordon Green, the one Pineapple Express.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at his other movies, he's done some pretty dark stuff, too, like documentaries, but... Halloween.
So,
what other ones came? If you just want to read the...
Well, the Bumblebee trailer, I think, was the most... Another one that was very newsworthy. Because I actually liked the trailer. I thought...
It was all right. It exceeded my expectations, but admittedly, my expectations were ridiculously low.
Yeah, I mean, when you start in the gutter, you can only go up. But, first of all, I kind of...
I like that quote.
Yeah. But I like that, at least from the brief appearance of John Cena, he's not playing like a hero.
You saw him?
In the trailer, he seems... Yeah, I did see him. But I love that... it kind of reminded me of the Iron Giant, in a way.
Well, the person that directed it did Kubo and the Two Strings. Did you see that?
No, I heard it was very good, though.
It is very good.
So, I'm optimistic about Bumblebee. But, you know, I think, Dickweed is still attached to it, so who knows what might happen with it.
Yeah, in the trailer, too, and I don't know the... confirmed answer to this, but it seems like they're still sticking to that Bumblebee talks through music thing.
But it's the genesis.
But the way they did it in this trailer, the shit out of me. It doesn't seem like he's going to be talking a lot in this movie.
And is that Starscream that appears in
it? Yes, it is.
It is Starscream.
And like classic Starscream.
That's what I'm saying. That's another thing I like about it. They actually look like the classic Transformers a little bit more than in the movie, so I'm psyched. Another big trailer, as far as I'm concerned, was The Girl in the Spider's Web.
Yeah.
Which looks amazing. Claire Foy, who I have on a pedestal because she's my queen. I won't acknowledge any other queen before her.
Even Khaleesi?
But she's got to get older.
I don't like the fact that they replaced her. She's my queen. On the queen.
And it's just going to be Olivia Colman for 2 seasons. And somebody else.
They put makeup on her, damn it. I mean, whatever. It's the movies. But this apparently, you told me this, John. I didn't know this was out of the trilogy.
This is not part of the original trilogy, right? But yeah. Stieg Larsson, yeah. Because Stieg Larsson died, and he had manuscripts for a bunch more.
He had, like, plots and manuscripts and, like, outlines for about 13 more books.
And the guy that was supposedly his protege took at least some of them and finished
with the blessing of his wife.
Yeah, and finished them. And so this is the first one that he did.
I thought, first of all, I loved the American version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
I loved it, too.
I thought it was spectacular. And I thought that this trailer, I mean, it looks like a direct sequel from the whole style, look, acting of the people. I think it looks fantastic. I can't wait.
And I guess we should probably talk about A Star is Born.
Yeah, we got that. That's on here. A Star is Born. Which
15,000 people saw our article about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it became one of our most popular posts on Facebook. But I think that trailer looks great too. I mean, I know it's like a third time remake of this movie, but
yeah.
I thought Lady Gaga, who I've always loved, looks great in this movie. Sounds great. Bradley Cooper, his directorial debut,
and he taught himself how to play the guitar.
Is it him singing? It sounded like
him
singing.
And he taught himself how to play the guitar from the movie.
I mean, I'll watch anything he does.
And he kind of looks like Kris Kristofferson.
He does.
Does he have?
Which is who played the character in the last movie.
There were two kid movies that got trailers. Lego Movie 2, that looks pretty good. And Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I love that they referenced why they didn't name it Ralph Wrecks the Internet at the end of the trailer. And they're like, why didn't you call it Ralph Wrecks the Internet? I'm Wreck-It Ralph. Because people always say this breaks the Internet. I know, but it doesn't make sense in this frame of the movie. That made me laugh.
There was also a second trailer for Mortal Engines, which caused a bit of a stir because apparently the woman isn't scarred enough according to the book. But I think the trailer looks interesting. Peter Jackson, who knows? It could be great. It could be awful.
Yeah.
He's hit and miss. And the only other one was Ryan Gosling is going to walk on the moon, apparently, as Neil Armstrong.
That looks pretty interesting, too.
I just kept thinking of Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, there hasn't been if you think of all the space movies in the theater, there hasn't really been one featuring Neil Armstrong. So it's going to be interesting to see about it. And it's from Damien Chazelle, who did La La Land with him. So
it should be a musical.
Maybe he'll sing on the moon.
Yeah.
Glenn?
Yes, sir.
It's your turn.
It's your turn.
It's your turn. It's your time.
Okay.
I was the only one that got on the soapbox before. one of our first episodes, I got on the soapbox talking about how much I hate after credit scenes. And now you're going to get on the soapbox.
I'm going to get on the soapbox.
So Glenn, what's getting stuck in your craw?
What are you pissed? what
are you? Be the name of the segment, Stuck in Your Craw?
Stuck in Your Craw.
So, all right, guys, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. I'm sorry for going a bit long, but I've had some pretty strong feelings on this particular subject lately.
Do it.
Now, whether or not you all picked up on this or not, I've always been an unwavering fan of the Star Wars saga.
Oh.
Yeah. One of the first memories I have is my mom and dad bring me to see Return of the Jedi at Belle Promenade Theater in Marrero, where we all kind of hooked up when we were much older. They put me in the fan club when I was 2. I used to get the Bantha tracks every week. I loved it. One thing that I used to love about being a Star Wars fan was that for the most part, we could all talk about the things we love and didn't love about the saga, but still know that we were all on the same page. If you look at the response to what Robot Chicken did with Star Wars, you could see that as much as we all loved this galaxy far, far away, we didn't always take it seriously, and we could laugh along with each other and about all aspects of the series. Recently, though, things have taken a bit of an unfortunate and troubling turn in the galaxy, and I'm not talking about Solo's box office. A few days ago, I was going through some stories, looking for some silly stuff to talk about on The Awesome Village, when I came across a small story regarding the actress Kelly Marie Tran. In case our listeners don't know, Kelly's the young woman who played the character of Rose in The Last Jedi. Apparently, Kelly really has been having a tough time, and she decided to delete all of her social media posts, and she pretty much left the internet altogether. Because for the past 6 months, she's been endlessly harassed and bullied by quote-unquote Star Wars fans, whose lives were so wrecked by her and her portrayal of Rose that she has been constantly mocked and threatened to the point where she could no longer open up social media and veg out looking at fun recipes and silly pet videos. When I read this, I was angry, disappointed, and frankly, I was just sad. Star Wars fandom used to be a family. Sure, not all of us agreed on things like midichlorians, CGI Yoda, or bounty hunters who shot first, but there was an underlying respect because we were all in the same family. Now Star Wars fandom seemed to have fallen into the same vitriol that has crept into other pop culture worlds that until recently Star Wars, for the most part, was immune from. The fact that this young woman is being villainized for playing a fictional character just infuriates me. You can agree or disagree with the way the character was written, have issues with her performance or whatever, but people need to be reminded that Rose is a fictional character. Kelly is a living, breathing human being. And because I'm a diehard Star Wars fan, I remember that lead up to The Last Jedi. Seeing Kelly on all the red carpet and the press leading up to the film's release, she was beyond excited to have been cast as Rose. She was bubbly, she was smiles, she was full of enthusiasm. She had pretty much gotten the role of a lifetime, and these internet bullies have slowly taken her enthusiasm and stripped and battered her so much that she thought it was easier to just give up interacting with people online. And now, I'm not saying The Last Jedi was perfect, and honestly, that shouldn't even matter. You've probably listened to the four of us go back and forth on different opinions on that film. And even though the four of us have different opinions, we try to treat each other with respect, even though we may poke fun at each other. And it's okay to have legitimate problems and different opinions. That's the great thing about movies. They're subjective. If you have a true problem with the direction of the Star Wars franchise, that's fine. If you have a legitimate criticism of someone's performance and you want to discuss it, that's fine. One of the great things about social media is that these filmmakers now have a medium where they can engage fans and see what audiences like and don't like. Now, attacking someone because of their race, their sex, or any other personal trait, that's not fine. Comments such as, "I hope you die," under a happy birthday Instagram post, that's the shit that's making me angry. One thing I want to relate to our listeners is that when it comes to actors such as Kelly Marie Tran, Leslie Jones, who was harassed due to Ghostbusters, Josh McDermott, who got death threats because of a character named Eugene he played on The Walking Dead, these are people of professional actors who are hired to play a role. They don't deserve to have their lives turned upside down because we disagree with something that a fictional character who they happen to look like has done. Now, I know these internet trolls who have made it their life's mission to terrorize these people represent a very small minority of Star Wars fans, but they are so loud and obnoxious, they're drowning the rest of us out, and let's get something straight. They think they're winning. That's right, they succeeded in killing this one young woman's enthusiasm and forcing her off social media altogether, pretty much. So if you levy a personal attack on someone by insulting or threatening them through ignorance, racism, hatred, or go after their family online because of a character they've played or a film that they're involved in, we don't want you as a Star Wars fan because you're not a fan. You're a troll. I really hope we can eventually go back to laughing in good fun, things like Chewie being naked or Bosk being barefoot, and stop these cruel personal attacks. We're better than this.
We are.
Yeah.
100% agree.
And that's all I have to say about that.
There was actually, it's kind of interesting you should mention that. I saw Kathleen Kennedy's birthday.
That's what I was talking
same
about.
Same thing. There was a whole bunch of stuff on that. And it's like, again, I have massive problems with The Last Jedi. I have massive problems with the directions of the universe. But that doesn't, like, mean you go... Again, that's a, this is a person, like, just like Glenn said.
Yeah.
That's wrong to kind of go... Again, I don't... You may want someone to not be a part of that universe, or they should be fired or whatever, but...
There are civil ways to go about it.
Right. Then you vote with your dollar. You don't go see a movie. You don't, you know, buy merchandise. But to do something like this is kind of unsettling on a very... ridiculous cellular level.
I mean, I think bullies in general are just kind of the scum of the earth. Just to put somebody down just because you can with no, you know, redeeming benefit to it. And when it comes to bullies, I mean, at least regular bullies are brave enough to do it to your face. Yeah. Cyber bullies...
Such as Johnny Lawrence.
Right, exactly.
That's why it's
cyber
the greatest
bullies
show ever.
Are just cowards. Bullies, that's all there is to it.
Because they punch down.
They punch down. They're cowards. They just want to tear other people down because they've got nothing to contribute.
Right.
So instead of doing that, make something better. Do something else.
But do you think they're actually like? I'm telling you, some of these people, I think they're yelling. They think they're yelling at Rose. They don't realize right. that that's an actual human being.
Well, that it's a lot like, and I'm not saying these people are the same group, but like the have you heard about incels?
No.
And voluntarily celibate people. There's a yeah. whole community of people that like think the government should give them women, like kind of like The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Because they're involuntarily, they don't want to be celibate.
There was like a whole thing about it, like on the Jim Jeffrey show, and it's like there's this whole group of people, and they like they hate women because they won't have sex with them.
Well, go on eHarmony.
Exactly. Well, and it's like or
become
or
someone that women want to fuck, or right. you know, like that's.
There's plenty of women out there.
Yeah, like, well, it's not that hard to get laid, guys.
Yeah.
But and that's the point. It's like they're externalizing their own nonsense, and it's manifesting itself in a harmful way. And again, you know, Kelly Marie Tran seems to be a fine, wonderful actress. Every interview I've seen, she seems very excited. Someone who
she
would
was
love,
at least.
You need to come on to the podcast with us.
Absolutely.
She, you know, again, I didn't like the character, but that I like her.
Yeah, I mean, she's not Rose.
She is, and she's a fan who like I compared to the same thing with Twilight. I don't blame anyone that ever took part in those movies because that makes your career.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with this. Like, what did Samuel Jackson say if he was, when he was offered the role? He was like, I'll play anything. I'll be a Skywalker slave. If you know.
And I guarantee you, some of these trolls that are going after her, if they saw her in a restaurant, they'd go take a picture with her.
Yeah.
And get an autograph.
Well, there's a couple of videos that you can see that Kelly Marie Tran had posted on her Instagram and everything of like her being at a random restaurant, people not realizing she was there, and people talking about them loving the character. And her right. kind of like geeking out over it. So, you know, again, that it's there's it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well,
because you
first of all, that was very well said.
Why, thank you.
That was very impressive. And
like, it's been on my I've been upset about
it. Well, I mean, I saw a Facebook post where there was this group of crazy alt-right people who were taking credit. Like,
I did see that, yeah.
Bragging that they were the ones who initiated this whole attack on Kelly Marie Tran because they wanted a lead white male as the driving force of Star Wars, which is there isn't a.
But if that's your problem with these movies, you're really.
Like, and I mean, like, the thing is that, like, that's why, like, I love Black Panther so much, and why, like, I've heard people, and, like, LeBron James talked about this, about how why him and his kids were so excited, because you've just never seen characters like this portrayed this way before.
Right.
So, like, if you're an Asian female, you've never seen a character like this in a major motion picture have a major role. So, whether you liked it or not, I understand why they made it. And her performance was fine. I mean, was it the greatest of characters? Was it the greatest of storylines involving her? Probably not. But, I mean, can you imagine what Jar Jar, the guy who played Jar Jar?
I mean, no, there is.
And
like,
look at poor Jake Lloyd.
Well, yeah, there a lot of that kind of, if the internet was a big of a thing as it was, you know, then there might be some kind of similar thing. But, you know.
Because, I mean, I used to look at the vitriol from, like, the DC fans and the Marvel fans and Star Wars fans, I hate to say it, has eclipsed.
Yeah, and him. Like I thought about Star Trek, and I know people had problems with Will Wheaton, but not like this.
Well,
yeah.
No, but again, some of these people have been around. They just have a bigger voice. They have a megaphone now.
Yeah, and also
the
because
the loudest person in the room is typically the
weakest. I think a lot of it is Lucas is not involved anymore, so they feel like, you know, it's like the soul of Star Wars is being bought.
But and some of these, and I think Glenn will agree with me, some of these are the same people that were complaining because Lucas was involved in it. And
exactly. Like exactly. When Lucas did the prequels, people were bitching like crazy. Now they want him back. And, I mean, Kathleen Kennedy's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
She has been, yeah.
And now they want her out.
And I think the big change now is with social media, people aren't afraid to use their actual names now. When they come out and attack all these people.
Well, they've been emboldened by the fact that nothing happens to...
Yeah.
There's no negative consequence.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a...
Just hide behind
this is just a little short story, but there's this former wrestler that I follow, and he talks often about internet trolls going after him. And he said that one time he noticed that this one guy wrote this really horrible message. He didn't say what it was. So he actually clicked onto the guy's page, and his whole Instagram page is all about, you know, God and all this stuff. So he actually screenshotted it and reposted it and said, hey, look at what this guy sent me and look at what he claims to be. And supposedly, like, the guy ended up having to shut down his Instagram page because he got hit with so many. So I think they need to – Kelly Marie Tran, if you're listening, Fight back.
Sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Right.
Which I'm glad she didn't completely deactivate her account. She just deleted all the posts.
Right.
And she's been staying away. Just because, I mean, it's hard to, I mean, just, I mean, I guess a person only takes so much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, before Force Awakens, I mean, yeah, before Last Jedi, she really hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
I mean, Daisy Ridley, same thing. She had to delete her posts because she made some comment about gun control, which I guess that's a little different. That's more something.
It's a little more political. Yeah.
Something she said. I mean, poor Kelly Marie Tran. It's just because of the way she looks, pretty much, in this character. I mean, it's.
We love you, Kelly.
Yeah.
We do.
We stand. I mean, we stand. We can. And I will say it's kind of nice to, if you go online, all the people that are coming out and supporting. Like Mark Hamill posted something.
Yeah.
I mean, John Boyega posted about how, you know, he's been dealing with it his whole life.
Yeah, and I've been following him on this. He's a really cool guy.
So I mean that's good that it's kind of bringing out the good. But I mean the bad's always gonna try, you know, out. You're gonna hear that one more just because they're louder. So
evil will always.
And the one thing I really like to hear, the one thing I really like to hear every week is, I'm a big fan of Chris Hardwick. You know, he does, you know, the Talking Dead and all the different shows after AMC, and he's a big fanboy, whatever. And at the end, I love at the end of every show, he always says, you know, don't text and drive, but also just be nice to each other.
Yeah,
just be nice to each other.
It's so easy.
Yeah, just don't be an asshole.
Right.
That's it.
The night is always darkest just before the dawn.
Here, we could just write a whole book of these positive, inspiring quotes.
Yeah.
Well, Harvey Dent.
So, you know, we hate to continue the spiral into negativity, but we have a couple of deaths we have to acknowledge.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be honest. I never heard of Kate Spade until this.
I've heard of Kate Spade.
Sandra had one of her purses.
I feel like my wife did, too.
It's kind of like...
I guess the sad part is that these are not natural deaths, so it makes it even worse.
Right. And that's the thing, like of the three people that we're about to talk about, Anthony Bourdain is probably the one I had the most connection to, because I watched his stuff. I
was more familiar with him than the
other. But no, Kate Spade I knew as a designer, and I've seen her in different things. She's the sister-in-law of David Spade. But she committed suicide. Don't want to really talk about how or anything like that. That's the point.
It's not matter.
The point is that with her and Anthony Bourdain both, what was the cause of death of the...
I don't know how.
They haven't released it.
Jackson Odell, he was apparently an actor who was in the Goldbergs. He was only 20 years old.
Yeah.
They just said that he died. He was found unresponsive. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah,
so,
although they mentioned that they're waiting for a toxicology report.
Right.
So he may have OD'd.
I mean, it doesn't...
We don't know.
It doesn't really matter how he died. It's just, it's tragic anytime a 20-year-old, you know...
And then, to the point, the first two people, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, these are both suicides.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of bouncing off of what we just talked about, you know, people... Sadness is not, depression is different than, it's not just someone that's sad. It's sadness you cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And kind of things as they're coming out, Anthony Bourdain apparently was trying to get help and all that kind of stuff. But it's, you never know when the difference between someone having a bad day or someone can be smiling ear to ear and something behind the scenes is going on.
Absolutely.
Robin Williams.
That's the other thing too. You know, a man who killed himself in a very similar manner. Because he had the onsets of dementia and you know, made a choice. There's no rubber stamp answer to this, but I think kindness is a start.
Yeah.
And we just talked about kindness, so, you know.
As I've gotten older, I mean, when I was younger, I had the opinion, you know, it seems kind of selfish to commit suicide, but the more I've lived life and experienced things, I mean, it's not, it's when you're depressed, I mean, it's engrossing. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's not... being selfish, it's like you're sick.
And I'm going to ruin this quote, but I read a quote that someone had posted about how it's basically like you're not. It's not that you're, you know, not afraid of it. You're taking. You're trying to choose between multiple fears, and you go with a fear that's the least, you know. And you know, it's one of those things that's never going to be solved. You're always going to have, you know, this going through. But the start is again to just be civil. And to reach out and be kind.
Be nice to everyone.
Yeah.
Our villagers.
I mean, you never know. Like, a simple gesture to a stranger could make a difference. Like, for example, this may be kind of trivial, but I went to Walmart when I was on vacation, and I was going into Walmart to get a grocery cart, and this old guy was grabbing a cart for himself, and he pulled one out, and he's like, here you go. And I was like, I'll get my own. He's like, no, take that. You know? I mean, little things like that in your everyday life can... maybe make a difference to somebody.
And I actually had an experience today, which was kind of made me feel good. I had apparently on Saturday, I helped somebody, and honestly, I didn't even really remember her when she came in, but a lady came back into my office today and said that I was so nice and helpful to her and her husband. She cooked steaks and mashed potatoes and brought me a steak and mashed potatoes for lunch.
Oh, look at that.
Just today, like out of nowhere, and I was like...
So you didn't scream, damn, you ruined my diet, woman!
No, I didn't. But she was like, you just have no idea how much you helped us the other day. And I was like,
well and kind of similar to that, like years ago when I was working at the coffee shop, we had this lady that would come in every night and get a cup of coffee. We'd talk to her. It was just regular, basic conversation. And then a few months pass, and she comes in with a kid, and she introduces her to myself and the other employee that was working. She's like, oh, yeah, this is my son. I'm like, oh, cool. And then she looks at him, and she starts to cry. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's happening? And she says, these are the guys that take care of Mom. And apparently what was happening was this was after Hurricane Katrina. Her family was all living in Texas, and she was here during the week trying to get the house back up in order so that they could all come home. And she would go back to Texas on the weekends. So every night that she came in, we were like the only human contact she had.
Wow.
And, because you never know the impact you make on someone.
Right. So yeah. Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, and Jackson Odell, rest in peace.
Yeah.
And the moral of the story is be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other.
And
party on, dudes!
And I do. This is from Anthony Bourdain. This is... since we're, everybody knows we're from New Orleans, this was just a really cool thing he said about New Orleans a while back, and I remember this when I read this, when I saw this interview. He was in a CNN interview, because he was a host of Parts Unknown on CNN. They asked him to name the one U.S. city he thought people should experience for food, and this is what he said. In America, there might be better gastronomic destinations than New Orleans, but there's no place more uniquely wonderful. With the best restaurants in New York, you'll find something similar to it in Paris, or Copenhagen, or Chicago, but there's no place like New Orleans. So it's a must-see city because there's no explaining it, no describing it. You can't compare it to anything, so far and away, New Orleans.
Well said.
Well, very well said. Well said.
So,
you're not getting crawfish and alligator cheesecake anywhere else.
No.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It is time to...
Yeah, let's bring things back
bring up. Bring things back up and talk about this week's awesome villager. So I'm going to go first and nominate Paul Giamatti.
I feel like you've nominated him before for Billions, haven't you?
I probably did. Yeah. I mean, it's that good of a performance. There's a lot of great performances on the show, but this season...
I don't typically listen to anything you say, but the fact that you've nominated him twice makes me think I need to watch this show.
It's that good of a show. Wow. It really, really is. And he's that good in it. Like to see all of someone's acting talents put on display, and to take a character that they make you, you're supposed to not like him, but also like him, but also root for him. It's just this curious mix of things, and it's a wonderful performance. And plus, his whole career has just been a stellar batch of films and performances. So Paul Giamatti is my nominee.
Good nominee. I always like Paul Giamatti.
Right.
Ever since The Negotiator.
I'm going to nominate Kim Dickens from Fear of the Walking Dead.
She's a handsome woman.
I thought she was great when Kevin Bacon fondled her breast in Hollow Man. She was really good in that. She was also... I think she was sensational in Deadwood. And
she was great.
Yeah, I mean, I thought her character was sort of like a forgotten character in Deadwood.
And I liked her in Tremé, too.
Yeah, she was good in Tremé.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Who was she in
Sons of Anarchy? She was the madam.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, in the later season, she showed up as the madam. Yeah. So, her character has been pretty much the main character, the Rick Grimes of Fear of the Walking Dead. And she's done a sensational job. And, that's my pick.
Okay, I'm going to go with Anne Hathaway.
Catwoman.
Yes, well, she was just the cat. She was Selena Kyle in Dark Knight Rises. But I'm not going to nominate her because I thought she... To steal a movie from actors like Sandra Bullock and Cate Blanchett is pretty daunting. And I thought she walked away with Ocean's 8. She was also the victim of kind of cyberbullying after she hosted the Oscars. Remember that whole Anne Hathaway hate train came out, and which I never understood. I never had a problem with Anne Hathaway, but I just think she's a great actress. She's an Oscar winner for Les Miserables. I mean, she was in Brokeback Mountain and Loving Other Drugs, but then she's done funny stuff like The Princess Diaries and Alice in Wonderland, and I just think she's always been great. And like I said, Ocean's 8.
The Devil Wears Prada.
Of course, Devil Wears Prada. Let's not forget.
Havoc.
But I talked about that movie today. But so yeah, I think she was just. I don't want to give away any plot twists about Ocean's 8, but I thought her character surprised me a lot. And the fact that she kind of made fun of herself a little shows a little bit about her personality. But like I said, just she's just a great actress. Also, I forgot to mention, she was really good in Interstellar.
Yeah.
But here. So yeah, I'm going with Anne Hathaway.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go with somebody that we don't hear from very often, and it's one of the stars of Hotel Artemis, Jodie Foster. She was awesome in Hotel Artemis, and I always kind of just forget about Jodie Foster until I'm like, oh yeah, this movie has Jodie Foster, and then I see on HBO that, you know, something that came out 10 years ago, and then I'm, how good was she in that? And man, she's an actress of the Lambs, and I mean,
it's almost effortless, her performances.
Yeah, it really is, and I mean, the character, it's an odd character that she's playing in this movie, and again, she does, like you just said, like effortlessly. I mean, it's just... She just seems like she's that person,
yeah.
And it's and she's got a rough past in it that you kind of learn throughout the movie, but I mean she's just this kind of take no nonsense nurse in the Hotel Artemis that she comes to patch people up, and you know she just I don't know it was a strange character, but I loved it. So
here. Yeah. I have no problem. I adore Maverick.
Maverick. That's another good one.
All right. I love Maverick.
All right, Greg, pick somebody.
I'm going to go with Jodie Foster because I don't know when we're going to get the next chance to nominate her. And for everything that John just said, yeah, Jodie Foster.
I'm going to pick Jodie Foster because when I was younger, I saw The Accused and I thought it was one of the most amazing acting performances I've ever seen in my life that she did. And she won an Oscar for that movie. And The Silence of the Lambs, we don't even mention that. That might be her biggest and best role. So
Nell,
I didn't like that movie. That movie kind of freaked me out with Liam Neeson. But yeah, Jodie Foster, I love her. I think she's great. I think she's great.
I was going to go with Jodie Foster as well because I will see you're accused and I'll raise you a Taxi Driver.
Oh yeah. God! Yeah. How do we not mention that?
Yeah.
And also, I loved her in Contact. I thought that was very another underrated one. Movie.
Oh my God! Yeah. How did that?
And but we talked about the Inside Man.
Oh yeah,
she was really good. And
she was.
Yeah, she's. I mean, she's when you talk about actresses. I mean, she's a level above.
So I think that makes the decision. However, John.
Yeah, what would have your pick have been?
I think I was actually going to go with Paul Giamatti, just because he's probably in my top five favorite actors of all time.
That might be one of the like few times we've had like almost a clean sweep of of a person.
Yeah.
Well, it's impossible.
It's impossible the way we set it up, but I mean that's. As resounding of an opinion as a group that we've had in a while at Jodie Foster.
I mean, I was close to Paul Giamatti, mostly because, I mean, Cinderella Man, I think, I think that performance he gave in there was very underrated. Yeah. But Jodie Foster, I mean, like I said, Maverick, I could watch that every day, and I wouldn't get tired of it.
I could watch Taxi Driver every day.
you might start to act a little weird.
I usually do.
Start?
Yeah, I know exactly, right? That could be my problem.
All I'm saying is if we walk in the record next week and Ryan's standing there holding his hand over the stove, I might leave.
You know who lives next door? I mean, I know you don't live next door, but you know who lives next door?
All right, well, we've kept you guys long enough.
Yeah.
It's been a fun week, and we learned a lot.
We did. I feel like we actually... like tackled some big issues.
We really
this week.
Did.
We normally don't give a shit about stuff, but we gave a shit this week.
We did.
We gave a shit. That should be the title of the episode. We give a shit this week.
And I brought Ryan a plant. So.
And sooner or later, we're gonna get me almost dying on the podcast.
I hope.
I tell you what, we'll get a lot of ratings if we do. I'll give my life for the awesome village.
We'll get a lot of ratings if we do.
But you won't be there to look at those ratings.
Doesn't matter. You'll be do like
it'll be like G Baby from Hardball in the background.
G Baby.
I was thinking more like those astronauts in Deep Impact. Well, how do we get out in time?
We don't. Oh, we'll all have high schools named after us.
That's right.
All right, Ron Eldard.
Jesus. This has been Greg.
John.
Glenn.
Ryan.
We'll see you next week.